This is the Talk of Fame Network on SB Nation Radio from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's Clark Judge, Rick Goslin, and Ron Borges.
Bill Cowher is a Super Bowl winning coach who now sits on the CBS set on Sundays as NFL studio analyst and who won almost 62% of his games during his 15 seasons as head coach in Pittsburgh. But long before he became a head coach, and long before he even became a coach, period, Bill Cowher was chasing kicks as a special teamer with the Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns. And, of course, he broke into coaching as a special teams coach with the Browns in the 1980s. And today, well, today he's breaking in as our special teams expert to tell us what impact special teams had on his career. Bill, welcome back.
Great to be back talking with you guys, and I love the fact that you're talking about a phase of the game that sometimes so often gets overlooked. Awesome.
Yes, sir. Bill, you signed with the Eagles as an undrafted college free agent out of North Carolina State in 1979. How long did it take you to figure out that special teams were going to be your ticket in the NFL?
You know what, Goose, when you sign as a free agent, number one, you realize that you were not signed probably. You're going there. And you got to find your niche, something that makes you different from other players. And I think there's two ways of doing it. Number one is you need to be versatile, which is you need to be a smart player where you can play multiple positions. And number two, you got to be good on fourth down, as I used to call it. I said, it, you know, it's a special teams player. And, you know, I was fortunate enough, I played a little bit of that in college at NC State and even in high school. And so most of the players that come to the National Football League and play in the NFL, they really don't play much special teams in college. So I was just hoping that I could find a little bit of a niche and kind of make me stand out amongst the others was being able to be versatile and be good on fourth down.
Well, Marty Schottenheimer, of course, hired you as to coach special teams with the Browns in 85, and you were 28 years old, and you'd just gone from playing the year before to coaching. How difficult of that adjustment was it to sort of overnight go from player to coach, and at 28 you were coaching some guys that probably were older than you were?
You know, Ron, I was actually coaching guys that I played with almost 2 years earlier, which was ironic because I was traded from the Browns in 1984 to the Philadelphia Eagles. And when Marty came back, I was actually 83 I got traded. But when I came back, I was actually coaching players I played with. And the one thing about the National Football League is that, you know, players respect players who have been there before. And so, you know, while it was difficult because I think going from playing to coaching, you have to kind of go to the next level. You kind of separate yourself. There's got to be lines of delineation. And I realized that. But at the same time, I had been on that field earlier, and I used to run up and down the sideline and realize what it took to be a good special teams player, what it took to really have good units. And so, you know, we try to separate ourselves, and Marty was so good about giving us the time and practice and giving us the effort and giving us the resource of having good players. You know, we had Frank Minifield starting corner on our punt return team trying to block punts. So, you know, he took it seriously, and it certainly can help the coach itself when you have a head coach who understands the importance of it.
Well, Bill, since you made that transition, that gives you a unique perspective, of course. I mean, you played in the NFL and special teams, and then you coach those guys. You mentioned what goes into making a good special teams player. What goes into making a great special teams player in the NFL? What traits are you looking for?
Well, you know what, Clark, I think you look at it, and I said, yeah, you got to have speed. I mean, let's face it, I think speed is one thing you're talking about. Special teams is being played in space, special teams being played over the course of 40 to 60 yards. But you also have to have a fearlessness, you know, from that standpoint. And you have to understand angles. And I think that's the one thing about the game of football is understanding what kind of speed you have. But if you understand angles and understand what your limitations are, you can be good. And you can understand that what's going on, trying to gather information as you're running, not just running blindly. Those are the things that you look for. And I think good units have a good mix of players that are smart, but players that are fast, and players that have great size. And that's what you're trying to look for. Good special teams units are like a good offense and defense. Is you want to have speed, size, experience, and youth.
Bill, how did your background on special teams impact your philosophies as a head coach?
Well, I think they impacted a lot because, you know, I think the one thing you did is that you appreciated the little guy. You appreciated every role on the team. It wasn't just about offense. It wasn't just about defense. It's It's the hidden yardage that gets lost and never measured really in the course of a game. You know, when you can average 45 or 48 yards on a net punt, when you can make teams have to go 80 yards for a drive, that kind of hidden yardage does not get lost. And I think when you talk about being a head coach, you know, I think my experience in coaching special teams and just talking to the team as a unit, when you think about, you know, outside of the head coach, what other coach on the team talks to everybody on the football team, offense and defense? You know, offensive coaches coach offense, defensive team coaches coach defense, but the special teams coach coaches everybody. So I just always thought that, you know, it's I think yardage, the hidden yardage, is so important in the game when it comes down to the end of it is, you know, the ability to shorten the field and lengthen the field to your advantage, I think, is really an integral part of the game of football.
And for a lot of teams, special teams are primarily non-starters, kind of back half of the roster guys, many times undrafted players or low-round picks. And there seems to be an annual turnover in a lot of those guys. So how hard is it for a coach to develop, you know, continuity from game to game and season to season when you have a deck of players that is often shuffling?
You know, Ron, that's a good question. I think that's the one thing that's probably getting lost, I think, when you look at today's cap. You know, I still always feel like we had a core five, you know, a core five of guys that you could build around. That these were guys, just like you have great offensive players that take them into watch tape. Good special teams players are watching tape. They're looking for that little bit of an edge or looking for, you know, some kind of clue that can get them to understand what the concept of the return is, what the concept of the coverage is. And so, you know, I think getting that core there, but the one thing is, I'll say this, every coverage element starts with the kickers. Every return starts with the returners. So you got to have two good kickers and returners. And I think from there, what you're trying to do, I think, is accentuate the strengths and mask the weaknesses.
Bill, I'm just wondering here. Yeah, Bill Belichick, John Harbaugh, and you all started in the NFL as special teams coaches. And you all went on to win Super Bowls, as we know. And you've addressed what makes a special teams coach prepared to be a head coach, because he coaches everybody, as you said. But here's the question I've asked for years, and I don't understand. I asked John Harbaugh this question. Why don't more special teams coaches get that opportunity? I really thought when Harbaugh won the Super Bowl in 2012 that something would happen. There might be a breakthrough, but there wasn't.
You know, I think it's a good question, Clark. And I think the one thing is, you know, sometimes it, you know, it does get devalued. I mean, we keep talking about every year we're going to take away the kickoff, let's take, you know, move back the extra point. You know, the safety issue has become such a big part of the game. And so the one thing I think, even with that being said, it's even more to me, good special teams that are done year in and year out should be looked at, because these are coaches now who are adapting to the game, the ever-changing game, which safety has to be in the forefront of everything we do. And I get that. And I agree with you. I think we have to sit back and take a greater look, because you're talking about a philosophical approach to the game where you're trying to bring offensive and defensive players together, which is the same thing in your same role as a head coach is. And that's why, you know, you sit there, and it's interesting you said that, because you look at Bill, you look at John, you look at myself, you're going to probably hear some of the same concepts involved when you're talking about the meeting and talking in terms of everybody doing their role. No one person is bigger than the other. And I think the value that we put on a special teams player and special teams play in general, we realize how integral a part it is in winning football games. So I agree with you from that standpoint, Clark. I think there should be more opportunities for special teams coaches. Just give them a chance to get in the room, listen to them, look at what their stats are, just like you do with offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators. But you know what? Hire a person. Don't just look at them. Make sure you listen to a person, because sometimes these are some special men out there who have a way to resonate with players.
Most rookies come in thinking they're going to be stars, and that special teams were just a necessary evil until then. You know, unless you're a high draft pick, you're going to have to play special teams. As a head coach, during training camp, could you see the light bulb going on for some of these guys that, hey, I'd better figure out this special teams thing or I'm not going to be here?
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I think, Goose, that's the point. I mean, because some of these guys have never done it before, which goes back to the importance of special teams coaches. I go back to what we're talking about before, what Clark said. He said, you know, these are also not just guys who are coaching special teams, but these are guys who are trying to teach people who's doing this for the first time. And so, yeah, I mean, for some of these guys, you have to pull them aside and say, listen, this is your niche. This is where you're going to be. Hey, I had Yancey Thigpen before he became a Pro Bowl receiver. He was covering punts. He was a flyer. He was number three on the kickoff team. You know, we had Orpheus Roy, who was a defensive lineman. Just run down the tracks. Run down those tracks, and that's what you're going to cover kickoffs for. So I'm just, these are the guys that, you know, to me, that's, you know, you pull them aside and you tell them how important it is. You sit in every meeting as a head coach. I never miss a special teams meeting. I wanted to sit in the back because I wanted them to know how important it was, not just to them, but it was important to me. And so if they knew it was important to me, then I knew it would be important to them. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's special teams, an integral part of the game. Again, all the hidden yards involved with it, and I just think it's one of those elements. It truly is the third element of winning football games.
Well, you know, we hear all the time how special teams are a third of the game, but certainly the Hall of Fame hasn't treated it that way. Goose and I pound the table periodically about some of these guys. I was a big Ray Guy fella. Took a long time to get him in, and now Steve Tasker's name comes up a number of times. He's been semifinalist. Do you think there should be a room in Canton for an elite special team player? I mean, not a kicker or a punter, but a guy who made his bones running down the field and making plays, making tackles.
Does anybody make more sacrifices than those playing special teams? And I absolutely believe so, because you talk about the three phases of every game, and every coach will talk about it. There's offense, there's defense, and there's special teams. And usually if you win two of those three, you're going to win the football game. And, you know, and to have great special teams, you got to have special players. And sometimes you have special guys, guys like you talk about with Steve Tasker, Hank Bauer. These guys were game changers. These were guys that you had a game plan for. And you talk about Hall of Famers, right? You're talking about people who had presence on the field that you had to change your game plan for because they were that special. Well, that's true about a lot of these guys that you guys listed in those 100 top special teams players of all time. These were guys that, you know, they could change a game with a return, with a coverage, and we see it day in, day out, you know, knocking the ball, keeping the ball from going into the end zone, a down putt, and it's inside the 2-yard line, and it suddenly changes the whole field position of a game. So there is no question in my mind, Ron, that sometimes I think that's one element of the game that's gotten overlooked, and I think is unfairly been devalued, because I think a good special teams player can have it make a difference in winning and losing football games.
Hey, Bill, this was special for us. Thanks so much for the time, and we'll catch you this fall on CBS. Thanks again.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks, Bill.
That's former Steelers head coach Bill Cowher. Up next, it's a 2-minute drill. You'll listen to the Talk of Fame Network.